This is talking with Professor Fred Whipple at his office at the Harvard Observatory on Smithsonian Astrophysical Observatory on 13 August 1979. Well, could you tell me how you first heard about Jansky's measurements and how they struck you?
Well, the first what I knew about them was when Jesse Greenstein and I, he was a graduate student. We're looking over the various publications of Harvard College Observatory and happened on to this one of Jansky's, which we were skeptical of at first, and then when we read the details, we decided it really was a true McCoy and that there was something there. That was the start of the interest.
And so you naturally felt like, well, we should try to explain this somehow. Were you unsatisfied with Jansky's speculations?
We wanted to try our own, and we went to the dust concept to try to get a thermal source for it, which was not a very profitable direction to go, but that's what we did.
And you worked out actually what we would now call a brightness temperature, essentially, for the radiation, found out that it was tremendously higher than any dust could be.
Yeah.
Did it occur to you at all to try to look into plasma aspects, or?
Yes, it did, and we were following the literature on that, and did Reaver come out with a plasma concept, I think?
In 39, he came out with it.
We were following that, and decided that since he was working on it, and we were both going our ways, I was working on the doubly photographed meteors then, which was a new field, and I was making good progress on finding out about them, and of course Jesse was working on the interstellar medium dust and so forth, and he was busy getting a thesis. And so we never got together on it again, but we did follow it and thought that since it was then in the literature, this plasma concept, and we leave it to other people to worry about.
Well, in fact, Greenstein did publish a couple of papers in the early 40s.
I think he did.
With Henier and Kenyon after he went to Yerkes.
Yes, that's right.
But do you remember the reaction at all? At the observatory about this?
Not very much. They couldn't get very excited about it. I don't know why. Jesse and I thought it was an extremely important thing, very vital to understanding the mechanisms in the interstellar medium, or possibly in stars. But the reason was that nobody knew what to do about it. And it took a long time to develop any good theories for it. I was interested in the observational end and did talk Shapley, Harlow Shapley, who was the director, into giving me $50 to buy an acorn set. And my thought was to put a diamond or a rhombic antenna. One could do that rather easily without much expense, just a wire netting on the top of the 61-inch dome, which is flat on top, and then put this rhombic, just consists of a wire in the shape of a diamond. And then one would have a rotating antenna, you could look for sources. And that was the idea I had in mind, but it was just too hard to get going on it. And I didn't really make a serious attempt to bring in the electronics people at Harvard, the physics department, into this. They might have been interested and might not have. I worked after the war is another story.
But this was at about the same time you were working on the dust theory explanation that you
Yeah, 37 or 38 in there, yeah. But it just was too much to get into electronics. Although I had worked in a radio way back in 1922, building the Quaker box, oatmeal box receivers.